Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on? I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Welcome, welcome, welcome to DrBoysTV.com, the home for intelligent and serious black people. If you are a serious black person, this is the place for you. If you're not serious, then you should probably leave because we're about to talk business, we're about to talk money, and we're going to talk about the recent collapse of Bitcoin. Bitcoin has been scaring the bejesus out of people because the price is not doing what it's supposed to do. I'm going to tell you what I've been observing. We're going to go through some of this analysis. And if you stick around to the end of the video, I will tell you about an investment that I'm making this week that will hopefully add some money to your bank account. So get comfortable, buckle up a seatbelt. We're going to get started on DrBoysTV.com right now.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money in the power, never be fake. Stick to cosign for three, what did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is bliss, but we can turn it to intelligence. Please, none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on DrBoysTV.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to DrBoysTV.com, the home for intelligent black people. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. I want to say hello to everybody. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope that you are enjoying your investing journey. I hope that you are making lots of money, and I hope that your life is blessed and wonderful. Now, do me a favor as we get started. Please give me a yes in the chat. Let me know if you can hear me. Give me a yes if you can hear me in the chat. And I want to say hello to Orlando Smith from Riverview, Florida. My name is Corey, B1 always from Baltimore. I love Baltimore. let's see, Justin Pender. Good to see you, my brother. Justin out of New York City. Can't wait to meet you in person. Khaled out of Harlem. I see you. And Jared and LaTanya and Brian Carter. So good to see all of you. And I want to say thank you very much for joining me tonight. It is an awesome opportunity and a pleasure to speak with you. All right. Now, with that being said, how many of you have noticed, give me a yes or no, how many of you have noticed that Bitcoin's been kind of tripping lately? Bitcoin has been scaring people and making old ladies nervous and making young people kind of question their sanity. And and Bitcoin's been, Bitcoin's been doing a lot of twerking, but it ain't working, right? It's twerking, but it ain't working. And it's going up and down, up and down, up and down. And it's really, really just not, it's not doing what I think a lot of us expected it to do. I think this month, in fact, I'm looking at my screen right now. Bitcoin today dropped another 5%. It's dropped 9.7% this week. It's gone down another 15.38% this month. And that's pretty unexpected, right? That's unexpected. Well, why is that? Well, because Bitcoin has been going up this year. In the last 3 months, it's gone up 42%. The last year, it's gone up 114.9%, which is kind of crazy, right? The last 5 years, it's gone up over 1,000%. So if you've been a consistent investor in Bitcoin, first thing I want to say is, I know you're sad, but I don't feel sad for you. I'm not going to feel, there's no pity in this party because at the end of the day, if you've been a consistent owner and holder of Bitcoin, then you will find that there is a lot of opportunity there. Now, Matrix, I see you got a question about the Prime class, and you should be able to log in. If you have any trouble, write down this email address, Matrix McDaniel. I look forward to meeting you in class, brother. Email support at theblackbusinessschool.com. Support at theblackbusinessschool.com. Don't forget the THE, and they will take good care of you. They'll even call you on the phone if they have to. We have an excellent support team in the Black Business School, and I see your comment in the chat, and I want to make sure that you're taken care of. If you can't log in, try to log in at theblackbusinessschool.com, THE, theblackbusinessschool.com. When you go in there, you'll have access to all the courses that you signed up for, so there's a ton of good stuff in there. So feel free, anybody else, to go take a look at that. All right, so let's let's talk about Bitcoin and what's really going on here. I'm going to give you my overview. A broad assessment is that Bitcoin is kind of just sort of running out of gas a little bit, given that there was so much momentum behind it. You had a lot of money that came in when the Bitcoin ETFs were approved, and Bitcoin became the bright, shiny object that everybody was excited about. And a lot of institutional money was pouring into Bitcoin, and that was going to be pretty massive. That was massive. I mean, 41% in 3 months is huge. It's huge. It's huge. It's huge. It's huge. 114% in a year is massive. 1,000% in 5 years is off the charts. So what I really want you to just kind of know is that basically Bitcoin has been on this beautiful frenzy where a lot of money's being made. And sometimes when you make that much money and you're making it that fast, it can distort your reality. It can distort your reality because you get to the point where you expect every day to be like that. You expect the sunshine to come out every day. And the truth of the matter is that even with the Bitcoin halving, the way financial markets work is they don't react to what's occurring. They react to the anticipation of what is about to occur. So some would argue that perhaps a big chunk of the boost that was expected to as a result of the Bitcoin halving, that's where the supply of Bitcoin was going to be significantly reduced because the rewards for mining Bitcoin were going to be cut in half, which some say would cut the supply in half. I don't know if that works like dollar for dollar or point for point, meaning that cutting the rewards in half, I don't know if that automatically cuts the supply in half, but it certainly reduces the supply because the people that we are rewarded for mining the Bitcoin are not being rewarded at the same level. If I got that wrong, then please forgive me because I know some of you are crypto enthusiasts and I want to respect your knowledge as well. So do not think that I am a crypto expert, but I am a crypto investor and I do pay close attention. Okay. So the deal with the halving is everybody knew it was coming. The halving was not a secret. The halving was not private information that was suddenly dropped on the market. The halving was not something that just came out of nowhere. The halving was not what they call a black swan event, which is something that happens that doesn't that nobody anticipated. Everybody knew it was coming. So what happens with the financial markets, you got to remember, they are anticipatory. So I would argue that when all the institutional money flowed in and the demand for Bitcoin came up, that was a catalyst for the rise in the price of Bitcoin. I also believe that once the halving finally got around to coming, a lot of the anticipation of the halving had already occurred. The price had already moved in response to that to some extent. Now, here's the deal. Here's what I think, though. I looked at some charts on historical performance during other halvings of Bitcoin. And traditionally, you just find that Bitcoin tends to go up when the halvings take place. When there's a halving, on average, Bitcoin tends to go up. The bigger challenge, though, is that nobody knows exactly what's going to occur because there's not a lot of data points on Bitcoin. Bitcoin is still a young asset. It is a new asset, and it is an asset that we're still learning from. We're still studying. We're still trying to understand it. And so one of the things I want you to do is, as you get excited about crypto and all the possibilities there, I kind of need you to pause for a minute and just be really careful. I don't want you going full throttle into crypto at 100 miles an hour, believing that this is the next big thing. There are lots of things happening with Bitcoin as an asset class, dynamics that are occurring that financial scientists like myself still don't understand. You know, we still don't understand in the sense that we don't know. You know, people came off and they said, oh, well, Bitcoin is digital gold. It's going to connect with gold. It's going to correlate or follow the price of gold. Well, that's not true. Bitcoin has not done that. Well, Bitcoin is a hedge against inflation because it really didn't show itself to be a hedge against inflation. What Bitcoin seems to do so far is it tends to kind of move with the stock market. When there is a market frenzy and the stock market is doing really well, Bitcoin does well. That's because there's what they call a risk on environment. Investors want to invest. Investors want to throw their money out. They're throwing money up in the air, making it rain like a strip club. So ultimately, the reason maybe the strip club analogy came to mind because I saw somebody mention Drake. Byron said when Drake tweeted about Bitcoin, that was my cue to sell. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know how much Drake knows about Bitcoin, but I don't think he knows a whole lot about rapping. But I'm sure I offended some people when I said that. In my mind, Drake is not a rapper. He's an actor. I like the real ones. I like the Kendrick Lamars and stuff like that. So if you want to know which side I am, I'm on in the Kendrick Drake beef. I'm on the side of the true rapper, which is Kendrick. He's as pure of an artist as they come. So, but anyway, we can argue about that later. But with that being said, though, you know, right now you have a scenario where Bitcoin is still doing things that we don't quite understand. We have some limited data on what we think it's going to do. That data, in my view, leans in the direction of a positive, favorable movement. So based on that interpretation, I would make the argument that Bitcoin is probably something that is going to rise over the long term. And so if I could give you a blessing, the blessing I would give you right now when it comes to Bitcoin is this. I would give you the blessing of patience. And the blessing would be this. I would say set your account on autopilot, where you can automatically buy a certain amount of Bitcoin every week, do it consistently, never sell anything, and then go to sleep and wake up 5 years later. I believe that if you went to sleep and automatically bought $50 of Bitcoin per week, every week, consistently for the next 5 years, and woke up on April 30th, 2029, you would be a hell of a lot richer than you are right now. That's what I believe Bitcoin is going to do. But the thing is that to some extent, I believe that it's better sometimes to sleep through the thunderstorm. Some people, it's like if a thunderstorm comes in your neighborhood, some people are scared of storms. They think the storm's going to kill them. And maybe it could. Maybe it's a tornado, but most of the time it's not. So really, the storm scaring you is really just more psychological than it is an actual danger. You're not really in danger. You just think you are. So you overreact to what you're hearing. So I would like for you to sleep through the Bitcoin thunderstorm, because this asset is a volatile asset. This asset is an asset that's going to throw temper tantrums. This asset is an asset that has ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. So the ability to tolerate that and to sort of patiently respond to that is essential to your ability to make money from what I believe to be a long-term positive trend in Bitcoin. But you would say, well, Boyce, if you really think Bitcoin's going to go up, why don't you just put all your money in Bitcoin? Why would you only put 5% of your portfolio in Bitcoin? Well, because nothing's guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed. Investing, you have to prepare for at least three things. You must prepare for the known. You must prepare for the unknown. And you must prepare for the unknown unknowns. So you got to prepare for what you know. You got to prepare for what you don't know. And you got to prepare for what you don't know you don't know. And the thing is, as a guy who knows a lot, the biggest thing I learned when I learned a lot was I know how little I actually know. I know that what I don't know is greater than what I do know. And then what I don't know is even greater than what I don't know. Right. So the universe is big. That's the point. So the point is to say that while I can tell you based on every indicator I'm seeing, Bitcoin's going to go up, there are no guarantees. So I'm not telling you on any level, and this is not investing advice anyway. Y'all know this. I'm not telling you on any level to go out and sell your house and just buy a bunch of Bitcoin, because I don't think that would be a wise move. All right. Now, if you allow me for 1 second, could you please hit that thumbs up button? Please, please, please. I'm a black man on YouTube. And so the algorithm, they tend to shadow ban channels like my own. So we have to find ways to stay out there and stay relevant. So you are an important part of that process. Also, if you want to get started on your investing journey, I have a great program at blackmoney101.com. So you can feel free to go take a look at that. Today we did stock market training for beginners. There were over 100 of you in that class this morning. And so I can do another one very, very soon. And eventually we'll do something on stock options. And also, if you want to join us every morning, every single morning, we do financial consciousness training. You can join us and get an invitation by texting the word morning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, to 87948. Text morning to 87948. I'll send you an invitation. We'll be in tomorrow morning. And then also, of course, you guys know I'm doing the Get Money Fest in Philadelphia with Jay Ortiz. I'm going to participate in that with his event. And he's doing it with the Pish Posh Girl. Apparently she's big in Philly. I didn't know much about her, but she's doing really big stuff in fashion, and they're doing big stuff in music. And they also wanted to add some financial literacy. And I just love it when young people want to be financially intelligent, because I believe that is the key. That is the clue. That is the win. That is the championship for our kids. You got to get your kids financially literate. I don't want them to be out here scared economically. Our kids are the best. They're the brightest. They're the boldest. So they need to be the baddest, and we need to get them ready. So I'm happy to show up to the Get Money Fest in Philly and talk to those young people about getting money, how to get money. So feel free to go to getmoneyfest.com, or also if you text the word morning to 87948, I'll send you guys a link where you can join in Philly. It's a live event. Okay. So anyway, let me keep going here. All right. So we're talking about Bitcoin, and we're talking about what Bitcoin's been doing in the market and how Bitcoin has literally had a really bad month. I don't think Bitcoin's had a month this bad for a very long time. I think Bitcoin is is kind of going through a process where it may be warming up to get ready for the results of the halving. One of the things that's interesting to me is that I don't think it's a coincidence that Bitcoin is struggling at the same time the overall stock market is struggling. Right now, the stock market as a whole, if you look whole, if you not as a whole, that's a Diddy party, but the stock market as a whole, W-H-O-L-E, stock market as a whole, that's so funny. The stock market as a whole is basically is really struggling. It's struggling right now. And if you look at the S&P 500 index, you'll see it went down by 1.5% today. The last month, it's gone by down by about 4%. The last 6 months, it's done quite well. But what's really happening right now with the market as a whole is that you have the Federal Reserve making an announcement tomorrow, and nobody knows what the Fed is going to do. The Fed is about to release information. A lot of you that are studying your stocks with your children should pay attention to what the Federal Reserve Chairman Jay Powell has to say. He's kind of the king of the economy. He's the one that decides what interest rate levels are going to be. And apparently, we're right now in the middle of a scenario where they don't quite know what to do about inflation. There's a lot of debate around inflation. The Fed's mandate is to get to 2% inflation. They believe they can do that, but there are some people who say that 2% is too hard. Don't go for 2%, just settle for 3% and keep it moving. And whether or not they settle for 3% or feel the need to go to 2%, it's going to be highly dependent. It's going to have a huge impact on whether or not they either choose to leave interest rates higher for longer or possibly reduce interest rates. Everybody expected rate cuts. Those rate cuts that were expected were supposed to boost the stock market because the market anticipates what it thinks is going to happen. Well, now the thing that it thinks it's going to happen, this big Christmas present from the Fed that they thought they were going to get, may actually literally not come till Christmas. They thought it was going to be Christmas in July. They thought it was going to happen during the summer. It's not happening during the summer. It's going to happen maybe at the end of the year, if it happens at all. And then now they're actually factoring in a small percentage probability that they may actually increase interest rates, which would be a complete disaster. But right, but the big thing that they're afraid of, the big boogeyman, the big monster that's scaring them right now, is this thing called stagflation. Stagflation is where you have both high inflation and high inflation and a sinking economy at the same time. Stagflation is difficult because the ways that you deal with inflation are you increase interest rates, but the problem is that the increase in interest rates will slow down the economy. So what happens if interest rates are high and what happens if inflation is high and the economy is slow? That's a very scary place to be. So the Fed may actually put us in a stagflationary economy, which means they're going to just pretty much all sit there and be trying to figure out what to do next. And nobody really knows exactly what to do. Even the best experts don't know exactly how to deal with a stagflationary economy. And so just kind of be on the lookout for that, because that could be actually quite sad for us as investors if that were to happen. So look for that word stagflation. If you hear stagflation and you hear it a lot, or if you hear some experts say we're definitely in a stagflationary economy, then you probably need to sort of hold your nose a little bit, because it's going to get ugly up in here. All right. Now, I mentioned to you guys that I would give you a profit alert of something that I'm invested in. Now, let me tell you what I'm invested in. I'm actually buying shares of this ETF. It's in the financial sector, and the ticker symbol is XLF. XLF. And let me tell you what XLF is. It is the Financial Select Sector Spider Fund, the Financial Select Sector Spider Fund. The top 10 holdings of this fund are Berkshire Hathaway, JP Morgan Chase, Visa, MasterCard, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, American Express, S&P Global, and Progressive Insurance. So if you buy shares of XLF, you will own a piece of all these different companies. Now, that particular fund is down by about 1% today. So maybe it's a buying opportunity, 1.5% this month, 4% the last month. And so this financial sector is a sector that some believe is going to do well over the next 3 to 5 years. So this is a long-term investment, but this might be something you can add to your portfolio for your kids. And then what you can do with your children to get them excited about economics is you let them know our family owns businesses. And they say, well, what businesses do we own? You can say, well, we own a piece of JP Morgan Chase. We own Visa. We own a piece of MasterCard, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, and American Express. How does that sound? How cool is that to say our family owns shares of American Express? So if you get on your app and you go to XLF, And just buy shares of XLF, your family will be a business owner. That is how you become a business owner in 5 minutes or less. So feel free to go take a look at that. This is not investing advice, but this is what I call financial soul food, because I don't want to just feed you with YouTube videos and feed you just with information. I want to feed you with things that are going to actually put money into your bank account. So keep hanging out with me and I'll give you more financial soul food. If you want to get access to the weekly What Dr. Boyce Is Buying and other stocks that I like, just get on the stock list, on the text list. Just text the word stock to 87948, text stock to 87948, and I'll send you profit alerts periodically. Make sure you click on those text messages, though, because if you don't, then eventually the system will boot you out. It'll assume that you don't want the information, and Lord Jesus, we don't want to bother anybody who doesn't want to be bothered. So if you click, then we will keep sending things to you. If you stop clicking, then we will stop sending. Okay, so we don't want to get on anybody's nerves. All right, so let's talk quickly. Let's kind of wrap up this part of the conversation in terms of Bitcoin and what's going on overall in the economy. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a little bit from an article that I saw in CNBC that might help us understand what's happening with Bitcoin and what to expect. They said that this is the worst month since 2022, and they said it could be worse in May. So be prepared. Bitcoin may drop again in May, they're saying. And they said that it's fallen 14% in April, according to CoinMetrics. And the last time it fell this far was when FTX collapsed, back with Sam Bankman-Fried and that whole fiasco, which is really ironic, by the way, because I don't know if y'all know this, but Sam Bankman-Fried got sent to prison over the whole FTX situation. But it's strange because actually the people that made investments with FTX actually got their money back. They didn't get like some of it back. They actually got all of it back, and they actually made a profit. And so sometimes with these situations, timing is everything. So Sam definitely broke the law. Without a doubt, he broke the law. But I really will say this. People that do stuff like that, they get caught breaking the law. They tend to get caught when the market is down and when people start redeeming their funds. And that's when they find out they don't have the capital on hand that they're supposed to have. And that's what causes them to get into trouble. So you tend to find the Bernie Madoffs and people like that when the economy goes south. Usually when things are going well, their ability to make money kind of covers for whatever they might be doing that it could be seen as wrong or illegal, right? So the Sam Bankman-Fried is really an interesting thing, and I encourage you to study that if you want to understand how these things sort of work. So here, basically, they said that all the catalysts to push Bitcoin have run dry. ETF demand has kind of petered out. So a lot of those ETFs that were super exciting, everybody was getting behind them, the money's kind of in there, and that's sort of done. Also, May was a stumbling block for Bitcoin in the sense that maybe investors are being sucked into a negative mindset. They say here that if the cryptocurrency finishes next month in the red, it will be its fourth year in a row doing so. So that will be the fourth year in a row that Bitcoin has finished that May in the red. However, it's proved to be a winning month in the previous halving years of 2012, 2016, and 2020. And also they said that investors are hoping to see big returns in the coming months, not just because of the historical trend, but because of the success of the newly launched U.S. Bitcoin ETFs, which have dominated the crypto investing discourse so far. This halving reduced the daily issuance of Bitcoin from 900 to 450, roughly, a fairly small amount of reduction compared to how much the ETF demand flows into the asset on any given day. They also said that changes in demand tend to have a bigger impact on the Bitcoin price in any given multi-month period. That's why if you look at the halvings, Bitcoin historically does well after the halving, but also the sample size for that is pretty small. So that means that we don't have a lot of data, but halvings tend to increase the price of Bitcoin. On Tuesday, the Federal Reserve kicked off its two-day policy meeting. Investors are watching closely to see if the central bank will keep rates higher for longer. And the Fed chair, Jay Powell, he gave some recent comments that have cemented the notion that rates may not be coming down this year as previously expected. Plus, tensions in the Middle East have been rising, and Bitcoin has yet to demonstrate that it can disconnect from the 10% sell-off in the major U.S. stock indices. This is something that's surprising about Bitcoin. We thought that it was going to protect us from the decline in stock market issue or stock market prices, but actually it's connected. It's all kind of connected. So really, Bitcoin, in my view, is just this speculative asset whose value tends to go up when investors are feeling frisky and risky, when they're feeling good and ready to put money up. That's what tends to push the price of Bitcoin up. I don't know if you can really look at Bitcoin as a digital gold. I don't know if you can look at it as any sort of hedge against the stock market. It just looks like an asset that does well when everything else is doing well. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe time will tell something different. Now, someone's asking, what's my gamer tag, Robert? My gamer tag, I think it's Coco773. I think it's Coco773. I got to double check, though. He's asking about my gamer tag on Call of Duty. In case you don't know, every now and then I go in with my buddies and we get to busting heads on Call of Duty. And, well, we're getting better at it. We're not the best, but I know how to get some stuff done. What's my take on Reddit? You know what? I think Reddit is a stock that is intriguing to me. I'm curious about owning shares of Reddit. If they have a good management team, and I'm convinced of that, and it's done well, it's gone up 31% since it was released. I'm not opposed to Reddit. I don't necessarily know how much I trust the company's ability to make money from that massive audience that they built, but I feel like they're going to figure it out. And if they do, they're going to be a powerhouse. So it kind of depends on whether they go in the direction of a Mark Zuckerberg versus, or if they go in the direction of a Snapchat. Snapchat is a company that doesn't really care about making money very much. And that's why they tell their investors, you're not going to tell us what to do. You can't vote. You're not allowed to do anything that's going to shape the direction of this company. And they're okay with that. Whereas Facebook is kind of sold out for the money. So I'd be curious to see what Reddit ends up looking like long term. But I would actually consider buying shares in Reddit. I do like Reddit, and I do like Coinbase also. I own lots of shares in Coinbase. I made a ton of money off Coinbase. It's great for the options market too. I mean, shoot, I make thousands of dollars every week from my Coinbase stock, selling the options on the stock. All right, so anyway, guys, before I head out of here, we do have a Black Wealth apparel line. So if you like shirts that reflect your love for Black wealth and the Black community and things like that, feel free to go to drboycebooks.com and you can take a look at some of the apparel that we have on that platform. And also, if you want to know how I make money selling stock options, which is my favorite way to make money, it's a great way. It's literally better than anything else. I have a free training called How to Make Money Without Working. If you'd like to go watch that right now, you can. Just text the word money to 87948. Text money to 87948 and I will send that to you immediately. And I guarantee you, if you haven't seen it before, it's going to rock your world. And it's not hocus pocus. It's not a bunch of flash. My PhD is in this stuff. So this is something that, for whatever reason, people don't talk about it enough, but maybe they don't understand it. I have no idea. But either way, though, a lot of students are making money this way. And it's the best way to make money I've ever run into in my whole entire life. So anyway, feel free to text the word money to 87948 and I'll send that to you right away. Hope you guys have a great day. God bless you. And don't forget, this podcast is on Spotify and Apple. So if you look up my name, you can find me there. And I will see you all tomorrow morning in financial consciousness training. Bless you. Go get money. I love you. I'll see you soon. Peace.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now, family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money in the power, never be fake. Stick to code sign for three. What did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is bliss, but we can turn into intelligence. Believe none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on Dr. Boyce TV. Here we are.